Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Ana Mateo, Brian Lynn, Jonathan Evans, and Steve Ember. But first, this report from Jill Robbins and John Russell.
Children entering school now should finish secondary school by 2030. But if current trends continue, 1 in 6 will not be in school in 2030, and only 60% will be finishing their secondary education.
Leaders are meeting from July 9th through July 18th
at the High-Level Political Forum, HLPF, the United Nations official platform for examining the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. They will be measuring progress on education for the first time since 2015. Sylvia Montoya is director of the UNESCO Institute for Statistics, and Manos Antoninis is director of the Global Education Monitoring Report. They say the world does not seem close to meeting the Sustainable Development Goal for Education, or SDG 4, which aims for all girls and boys completing free, fair, and high-quality primary and secondary education by 2030. So the two experts say business as usual for education must come to an end. If the goal is not met, the world will have failed a generation of children, they add. A new report from their groups tells about progress toward each SDG 4 education target, from early childhood education to adult literacy. Montoya and Antoninis say that the world's countries need to make some changes to meet education goals.
Starting children's education with preschool is best, the report says. This helps older children attend school. In many countries, more children are in early childhood programs. But in poor countries, the number of children aged 6 to 17 who are not in school has gone down. In 2030, 16.7%, or 225 million young people, will not be in school. The experts say children also must be supported in completing secondary school. The goal of all children completing primary school was set for 2015, but it will not be met by 2030. The percentage of children completing secondary education in low-income countries is less than half of the worldwide rate. Differences in earnings lead to big differences in education. 4% of children from the poorest families complete upper secondary school in low-income countries. Just 2% of the poorest girls, compared to 36% of those from the richest families, complete upper secondary school. The UNESCO officials say earnings inequality must be dealt with. Montoya and Antoninis note a strong connection between reading ability and learning rates. Around 20% of youth and 30% of adults will still be unable to read in low-income countries by 2030. Learning rates will not increase in middle-income countries if reading ability rates remain the same. In French-speaking African countries, rates will drop by almost one-third in 2030.
One in four countries does not meet two of the SDG 4 goals. One is to provide at least 4% of gross domestic product, or GDP, on education. The other is to use 15% of their total government spending on education. Financial support for education has not grown since 2010, the report says. Contract employees are replacing trained teachers in sub-Saharan Africa, hurting the quality of education. Countries need to find and train more teachers.
I'm John Russell.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
Now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. I am not going to lie to you. Not all bugs are created equal. We like some insects and hate others.
For example, if you see a big cockroach run across the floor, you might run for the insecticide spray.
But if you see a brightly colored butterfly landing on a flower outside your window, you probably will not spray it with poison. So today, we are not going to talk about cockroaches. Let's talk about butterflies instead. Butterflies are beautiful both in their appearance and movements. They flutter. This means they move their wings back and forth very quickly. The word flutter even goes very nicely with the word butterfly. Butterflies flutter by.
Other things can flutter, like a sail on a boat that flutters in the wind. Flutter can also mean to move in an uneven, irregular way. When two people are in love, you can say their hearts are all a flutter. This fluttering movement led to the expression, to have butterflies in your stomach. This means you feel nervous. It feels like you have butterflies fluttering around inside you. To have butterflies in your stomach is a common expression, so much so that we often just say, we have butterflies. For example, if I am nervous before speaking in public, I can say, I'm so nervous, I have butterflies.
Butterflies can also flutter from one place to another. They do not spend too much time on one flower or plant. Some people do this as well. They flutter about, not spending too much time in one place too long, like a butterfly. That is where we get the term social butterfly. We use it to describe a person with a lot of friends and a lot of social engagements, like parties and get-togethers. These two butterfly expressions are fairly common, and you can use them in any situation. But today, we will talk about another butterfly expression, one that is a little more philosophical.
We call this the butterfly effect. The butterfly effect is a theory. It claims that one small action can lead to major events. For example, a butterfly fluttering its wings can have a great effect, like producing a storm in another part of the world. But this expression is not just used by great thinkers, you know, philosophers. Every small decision you make can have a butterfly effect in your own life.
For example, let's say that one night you agree to meet friends at the movies. On the way, you stop to help a man with a broken bicycle. This makes you late and you miss the movie. But the man is thankful. He gives you his card and invites you to lunch. As it turns out, he is a book publisher who offers to look at a book you have just finished writing. Your stopping to help him led to events in your life happening very differently.
Now, you may hear other expressions that mean about the same thing. We also have the ripple effect. If you throw something into a body of still water, it causes ripples in the water, one leading to the next.
Then there is the domino effect. Dominoes is a game where you stack up domino tiles close to each other. You push one, which falls into the next, which falls into the next, and so on, until they are all down.
The snowball effect is when something small gets worse and worse over time. Imagine a ball of snow rolling down a hill, getting bigger and bigger as it collects more snow.
We usually use to snowball only for bad things. We use the others for both good and bad events. And you can use all of these expressions in either formal or informal situations. One big difference is that we can say something dominoed, or snowballed, or even rippled, although that one is a little less common. However, we do not say that something butterflied. For example, the man could not have known that his not going to work would domino into a very interesting day.
These expressions are all chain reactions. They all mean that one thing leads to the next, and so on.
And that is the end of this Words in Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Brian Lynn.
A new study says more American and Canadian teenagers are vaping than ever before. Vapes are electronic devices that heat liquid into a cloud of vapor that users inhale. Most users vape with a liquid that includes the drug nicotine, several other chemicals, and flavoring. The researchers examined data on smoking and vaping by young people in Canada, England, and the U.S. They found that between 2017 and 2018, the number of 16 to 19-year-olds who reported vaping in the past 30 days rose by almost 50% in the U.S. The number almost doubled in Canada. Britain saw little change in vaping numbers. Researchers say the availability of vapes with more nicotine may be responsible for increased usage. David Hammond, with the University of Waterloo in Canada, led the study. He said in an email that 2018 marked the point at which new vaping technology started to take over the market, led by Juul. Juul vapes went on the market in 2015. The researchers noted that the company now commands more than half the vape market. Juul became available in Britain in July 2018 and in Canada in September 2018. Teen use of Juul vapes increased in all three countries during the study period. The percentage of U.S. teens who reported using Juul products regularly between 2017 and 2018 increased from 1% to 4.5%. Hammond said, many young people think vaping is not harmful and do not know the nicotine levels of vaping products. He added, parents and kids should know that these products are capable of producing addiction and may have long-term health risks. In an emailed statement, Juul said, We don't want any non-nicotine users to use our products, especially youth. The company said it had taken aggressive action in the U.S. and Canada to fight underage use of its products. Linda Bald is the head of public health at the College of Medicine and Veterinary Medicine at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. She says parents should talk to their children about the dangers of smoking and vaping. She told Reuters in an email that parents should explain that vaping products are for adult smokers trying to quit, not teenagers who have never smoked. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. For most of the 1990s, the nation was at peace. The Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, bringing an end to years of costly military competition. During the 90s, the American economy recovered from a recession and grew strong. Inflation and unemployment were low. There were new developments in medicine and technology. The internet began to evolve from a defense project, mainly linking researchers, into a new way for the world to communicate. America grew by almost 33 million people during the 1990s, the largest increase of any decade in its history. By the end of the 90s, more than 280 million people were living in the United States. During the decade of the 90s, there was a large increase in immigration from Latin America, the Caribbean, and Asia. For the first time in 70 years, one in 10 Americans was born in another country. At the same time, the population was getting older. That added to the nation's health care costs. America's new president, Bill Clinton, promised to reform the health care system. But in the end, like other presidents before him, Clinton failed to win support for that idea in Congress. Divorce rates in the United States had begun to grow sharply in the 1970s. By the 90s, those rates were starting to drop. But there were millions of children living with only one parent or with their grandparents. Single-parent families are more likely to be poor. In 1980, single-parent households represented about 20% of all households in the United States with children. By 1990, that number had reached 24%. And was continuing to rise. In 1991, a black man named Rodney King led police in Los Angeles on a high-speed chase. After the chase, officers tried to arrest him. A man living nearby videotaped police officers striking King repeatedly with their sticks and kicking him on the ground. The officers later said King had resisted even after they shocked him with an electric stun gun. The man took the 81-second video to a local television station. Soon, people all over the country were watching it. The beating led to criminal charges against four white police officers. The trial was moved out of Los Angeles. Their lawyers argued that the officers might not receive a fair trial there. On April 29, 1992, a mostly white jury in a community north of the city returned its findings. The jury found the officers not guilty of assaulting Rodney King. Anger at the jury's verdict soon led to rioting that began in the largely poor black neighborhoods of South Central Los Angeles.
Don't go near this area, South Central Los Angeles at Florence and Normandy, because there is still no police presence there, and a lot of people trying to get through that intersection have been assaulted with rocks and bottles and sticks.
More than 50 people died in days of violence before police and troops brought the unrest under control. Many more were injured, and hundreds of buildings were destroyed by fire. It was some of the worst rioting in American history and received worldwide attention. The following year, a federal jury found two of the officers who had beaten Rodney King guilty of violating his civil rights. They were sent to prison. Another case in Los Angeles that received international attention also involved a racial element. O.J. Simpson, a black former football star and motion picture actor, was charged with murdering his white former wife and a male friend of hers. They were stabbed to death in 1994. Many legal experts believed the case against Simpson was strong. So did many more whites than blacks in public opinion surveys. A mostly black jury found Simpson not guilty. But later, in a civil case brought by the victims' families, a mostly white jury found him responsible for the killings and ordered him to pay damages. In 1990, researchers launched the Human Genome Project. This was a government-supported effort to identify and map all of the genes in the body. The Human Genome Project raised hopes for new medical treatments and cures for diseases. The project lasted 13 years until 2003. In 2000, President Clinton announced the completion of a working draft of the genome.
It will revolutionize the diagnosis, prevention, and treatment of most, if not all, human diseases.
During the 1990s, personal computers became more and more a part of everyday life. And more people were going online over a network linking computers around the world. The internet would grow into an easy way to send email, find information, and buy products over the World Wide Web. In music, many Americans in the early 90s were listening to a new sound from the Pacific Northwest. It became known as grunge rock. The capital for grunge bands was Seattle in Washington State. One of the best-known bands was Nirvana. Their 1991 album, Nevermind, contains some of their most successful songs, including Smells Like Teen Spirit. Kurt Cobain helped define the grunge sound. He was Nirvana's lead singer, guitar player, and songwriter. But in April 1994, that voice was silenced. Officials said he killed himself with a shotgun. Kurt Cobain was 27 years old, the husband of singer Courtney Love, and one of the most influential musicians of his day. On television, millions of people watched shows like ER, a drama series about a busy hospital emergency room. Many fans tuned in to watch George Clooney play a young doctor on the show.
What's going on?
Mr. Abbott asked us to try to resuscitate his son.
Still flatline, atrophy tube,
epi. He shouldn't have made it through the night. Who the hell are you?
I'm Dr. Ross. Look, he was in my care.
ER first went on the air in 1994 and lasted 15 years. Law and Order was a crime drama, but it took a different path, involving the interactions of police, lawyers, and judges. The popularity of the series, set in New York, led to several related Law and Order spin-off series. For laughs, millions of people watched shows like Seinfeld and Friends. The Friends were Ross, Rachel, Monica, Phoebe, Joey, and Chandler, six young New Yorkers. Seinfeld was also set in, you guessed it, New York. It starred comedian Jerry Seinfeld playing himself. The series was hugely popular and won many awards. TV Guide magazine put it at the top of its 2002 list of the 50 greatest shows of all time.
I'm sorry, excuse me one second. Hello?
Hi, would you be interested in switching over to TMI long distance service?
Oh, gee, I can't talk right now. Why don't you give me your home number and I'll call you later?
Well, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to do that.
Oh, I guess you don't want people calling you at home.
No.
Well, now you know how I feel.
Seinfeld was, in the words of its creator, a show about nothing. But Jerry and his friends, Elaine, George, and Kramer, managed to find plenty of humor in life's everyday problems and situations. Another popular show in the 90s was the animated series The Simpsons, which, like Seinfeld, premiered in 1989. New episodes of The Simpsons, Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie, continued into the 21st century.
Titanic was called the Ship of Dreams. And it was. It really was.
All right, open your eyes.
The 1997 film Titanic became the first movie to reach $1 billion in ticket sales at theaters worldwide.
You never know what hand you're gonna get dealt next. You learn to take life as it comes at you.
When the ship docks, I'm getting off with you.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet played young lovers on the famous ship that sank in April 1912 after hitting an iceberg in the North Atlantic.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Another popular film was Jurassic Park, released in 1993. In it, dinosaurs from prehistoric times are brought back to life with disastrous results.
We're gonna make a fortune with this place.
In sports, baseball players went on strike in 1994. The World Series championship was canceled that year. In basketball, millions of fans were watching Michael Jordan lead the Chicago Bulls to championships. As the 90s came to a close, people around the world were preparing to celebrate the arrival of the year 2000. It was a big event, but there were also concerns about the millennium bug, or Y2K issue. This was the worry that older computers might not be able to recognize the calendar change. Lots of activity went into making sure things would go smoothly after midnight on December 31st, 1999.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.